Thank you, darling. I don't think of myself that way, but well, I can't tell you. I've looked forward to this day for a very, very long time, and I'm so excited to share with you what God has personally done in my life this past year. I have faced the most difficult battle I've personally ever had to face before. In fact, the devil did his best to try to kill, steal, and destroy my life. But what he brought for harm, I'm going to use it this morning to bring glory to God and to further his kingdom. When my battle began last year in June, on Tuesday, June the 9th, I went into the hospital to have a surgical biopsy. 2 days later, the results came. I had breast cancer. We found out it was a very aggressive type. It was going to require several surgeries, chemotherapy, and years of taking drugs. Well, I never thought in my life, I never feared getting cancer. I never thought I'd ever have to face anything like that. So it really came as a shock. But you know, whenever a tragedy of any kind comes against your life like that, questions can come in your mind like, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Isn't God being unfair to me? Those things can come across your mind. But you know what? God is the one who created a perfect world. When he created it and put Adam and Eve in the garden, there was no sickness. There wasn't pain or tragedy or hurt. What happened was when man chose to disobey God, that brought sin into the world. And sin brought all this corruption and all the devastation that you see. You see, we experience evil because of sin and what it brought into this world. So what did God do when man disobeyed? What did God do? He brought the solution. He sent his only son, Jesus, to come and provide everything that we would need to be able to overcome. God is the one who brought the solution. He didn't bring the problem. Sin did that. I tell you, God is so very good to me, and I have an absolutely wonderful life. But then cancer came. What did God do? He provided everything I needed so that I could overcome, and he prepared me ahead of time for the battle that I was going to face. You know, and he'll do the very same thing for you. You know what makes me angry? Is when the devil does something really awful and he blames God for it. When he does something awful and he blames God for it. Because see, when something like this happens, well, this thought could be the devil could speak to me and say, well, look what serving God has done for you. You've served God all your life, done your best to serve him, and now he gave you cancer. Well, what a lie. But he does that all the time. When tragedy comes, something that he instigated, something that he did, and he blames God for it. Don't blame God when tragedy comes. He's the one that has your answer. He's the one you need to turn to. Maybe you've ever had this thought or heard someone say, well, I know what the Bible says, but it just doesn't seem to be working. Well, this is where faith comes in, because faith is believing before you receive it, before you can actually see it. Well, this morning I want to share a message entitled, It's Time to Believe. I believe this is a phrase that God gave to me and spoke to my heart very clearly as I prayed and sought for direction for what I was supposed to do. You know, we serve an almighty, powerful, awesome God who can do anything. And you know, it's time that we as Christians rise up and believe God for miracles in our lives, believe God for miracles in our families, believe God for miracles in our church. I want to share with you the journey God brought me through this year. As I stand before you today, I declare I am healed and I'm cancer free. As I share my testimony about how God directed me down the path to victory, I believe it's going to help you in the battles that you face. Here is an amazing fact about our God. He knows the future. He knows exactly what you're going to face in your life. And if you will allow him to, he will prepare you for it so that you will come out at the other end victorious. Well, as I said, my battle began on Tuesday morning, June the 9th. I was to be at Harris Hospital at 9 o'clock. They were going to get me ready for surgery. The biopsy was supposed to be at 11 o'clock. And so they got me ready, and Mark and I had a small private room to wait in. And as often happens, it was 3 o'clock before they finally got to me. So we had this really long time in this little room. And they had a TV in there, but it didn't work. And so I was so thankful Mark had brought a Bible and some reading material. And at one point I said, I want to have a positive, uplifting attitude when I go into surgery. So I took the Bible and I just opened up and I thought Psalms would be good. So I just opened up to Psalms and I came to Psalms 118. I just read one chapter and I started reading and I came to this verse, Psalm 118, verse 17. And it said, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now, have you ever known a verse was in the Bible that didn't have any idea where it was? I knew this was in the Bible. I didn't know it was in the Old Testament or New Testament. I quoted it before, but had no idea where it was. What a miracle that I would just open up. You know, there's a lot in that Bible. There's lots of pages that I would open up to that verse. Well, to me, that was a miracle, and I knew I was going to be okay. But you see, God was preparing me. He knew the battle that was ahead that I was going to be facing. And that verse, it has been such a rock to me. It has brought joy, it's brought strength, it's brought peace to my life. And, you know, that's what God's Word will do for you too. If you'll just take time to get into it, He'll bring you across the verse that you need for what you're going to face. You know, I hate to think what this year would have been like without that verse. You know, I want to caution you though, when God speaks a word to you, and you know that it's from God, the devil is going to try everything he can to steal that word from you. He's done everything that he could to steal that word from me this year. You know, I remember back when I was a teenager, our home got broken into one time. And the very first time after that incident that I came home to an empty house, I distinctly remember as I came up to the door and I reached out to grab for that doorknob, well, this tangible fear tried to grip a hold of me that said, there's somebody in the house stealing. But I thought, and I just rose. I said, no, I'm not going to be afraid. And I opened that door and went right on in. And I was okay. And that happened several times. I'd come home and I'd reach out. Someone's in there. I thought, no, it's not. I refuse. I'm just decided I was not going to accept that fear. And it wasn't long. You know, I've never been afraid to walk into a house. I had a choice. It was really a pivotal time for me. Well, the devil has done that to me all year long. He'll whisper to me, you're going to die. You're going to die. And I would say, no, Psalm 118, verse 17 says, I will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. So don't let the devil steal special words from you. Don't let him steal. He'll try and steal it from you if he can, but don't let him do that. I tell you, God is so good to prepare you ahead of time for what you're going to face. At this point, I've been reading a book called To Battle, Destined to Win. And I just read the chapter that said, looks like a job for El Shaddai. Well, El Shaddai is a name for God that means Almighty God, the God of the impossible. And that whole chapter was about when you face impossible situations, things that in the natural you can't do on your own, you need to say, looks like a job for El Shaddai. What a wonderful chapter for me just to read before I got the news. Well, when the doctor called us on that Thursday morning, 2 days after the surgery, actually she called very early, and Mark and I were still asleep when the phone rang. There had been storms during the night that kept us awake, and Thursday is our day off, so we had the opportunity to sleep a little bit late and catch up since we've been up so much. And so the doctor called, and we were both listening over the phone. She told us, you know, that I had the cancer, and when I hung up the phone, I knew inside it was really important, the first words that came out of my mouth. And I looked at Mark, and I said, looks like a job for El Shaddai. And then I just laid down beside him, and you know, for a very long time we didn't say anything, because we were like, this has to be a dream, it can't be real. It was just, we were totally in shock. We just didn't know what to do. Well, the next day on Friday, find my notes here, we went to the doctor to find out what we were up against. And that's when we found out it was a very aggressive cancer, and I needed to start treatment really soon. She gave us a lot of information, a book to read and stuff all about it. So, and that was really hard and difficult to hear, all the things that she said. But we went home, spent that day reading the materials and looking over everything. Then at Saturday, reading over it again. Well, that evening, we decided Mark said, let's get together a small group of people in my office tomorrow at church, and let's pray and believe for your healing. So we decided that at 10:30, between the two services, let's get a few people in there together, lay hands on me, and believe for my healing. Well, the next morning, Sunday morning, I'm getting ready. Now, you have to realize my mindset, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, has just been heavy and like disbelief, and what am I going to do? And so Sunday morning, I'm in there, you know, doing something real spiritual, fixing my hair and putting my makeup. But while I'm doing this, all of a sudden, this joy just rose up in me. And this, it came to me, I'm going to be healed today at 10:30. And it was just so just abrupt. I turned to Mark and I said, Mark, I'm going to be healed today at 10:30. And we just agreed, yeah, we believe that's going to happen. So we got to that group together that morning. We prayed. And I believed that morning was when I was healed. That was my point that I always went back to. Sunday morning, June 14th at 10:30, I believe I was healed that morning. Now, at that point, I had no physical proof. I did not have a doctor's report to say the cancer was gone, but I tell you, I had something better. I had God's word on it. I had Isaiah 53:4 that says, with his stripes, we are healed. I had James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 that says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. And that's what we did in the office. They anointed me with oil. We did that. And I believe that word that God spoke to me. Then there's Mark 11:24 that says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. See, that's the phrase, ye shall have them. I knew my manifestation was coming. I knew I was going to see it. But you know, sometimes there's a period of time between you say, amen, Lord, yes, I believe. And there it is. You got that space in there when you believe God and when you actually see the manifestation. That space in there, that's where faith comes in. That's where we just choose to believe God, what he says, and choose to believe his word. Well, after we prayed and believed for my healing, Mark and I decided we were going to go to another doctor for a second opinion. So we made an appointment, and then I went through a battery of just all kinds, different kinds of tests, all kinds of stuff. One of the tests I had was a needle biopsy on a swollen lymph node. And it was going to take 2 or 3 days to get there. It actually, the results from that test came on June the 24th. Well, God prepared me for what the doctor had to say. Because that morning, as I went to the health club, and just as I was walking up the steps, God spoke to me. And he said, you need to not be sad. You need to be full of joy. You need to be joyful and not be sad. And I thought, you know, that's right. I don't need to allow this sadness to be on me. I need to joy in the God of my salvation and rejoice that I know that God has healed me. And so my attitude turned that morning. And I just started, you know, just really thanking the Lord. And I didn't really realize how that sadness had just kind of gotten on me in the last couple of weeks. Well, I went home, and just before the doctor called, well, Carla, my sister, was home praying, and she felt impressed by the Lord to send me a text message with a verse, and it was from Psalms 112, verse 7. Now, this chapter, Psalms 112, it speaks to about the man who fears the Lord, and this is verse 7 says, he will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And I thought, oh, that's great. So I started going over and over in my mind and saying out loud, I will have no fear of bad news. My heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. I will have no fear of bad news. My heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And I just thought about each phrase. And as I was doing that, the phone rang, and it was the doctor. And she had bad news. They did find cancer in the lymph node. Because the type of cancer that I have can spread throughout your whole body. And one way that it does that is through the lymph nodes. And so that was a sign that it was starting to go throughout my body. So bad news, but you know what? God prepared me. And it just, you know, even though I didn't like the news, it just didn't knock me down like the first time that I heard about it. There was a faith that had started to build up in me already to believe for my healing. Well, within the very first week, really, of finding out about the cancer, I felt impressed. I was supposed to call Vicki Fox and tell her about that, about what we were going through. And her and Bob have been such a strength to us all this past year. But God had a divine appointment for Vicki, because in just a few days after I told her, she ran across a man who knew someone that had been healed of cancer through taking some herbs. And so she called and found out all about it and told me about it. And I thought, was this just too good to be true, just to take these herbs and it'll help you get over cancer? Or was this what God wanted me to do? I don't know. You know, it kind of sounds, you've heard of the snake oil treatments, you know, that, you know, I thought, well, I don't know. There's no medical, there's no written anything about it. But I thought, well, you know, I just kind of put it on the back burner. But, you know, I really believe God healed me that Sunday morning, June 14th. But the question in my mind was, how was I going to receive my healing? How was it going to come about? You know, two choices I really thought that I had at this point. Was I supposed to go through traditional treatment with surgery and chemotherapy and believe God to heal me that way? Because he could certainly do it that way. Or was I supposed to just take these herbs and believe God to heal me that way? I just didn't know. You know, we believe in doctors. I believe in medicine and medical treatment. All those things are good. And, you know, if God directs you to do that, you need to do that. And I'm thankful for the doctors who have helped me in my life. You know, this past year, once I got sick, went to the doctor, I got antibiotics, got well, and I'm thankful for that. But this decision about treatment and what I should do, it was really difficult because to me it was a life and death decision. It took me several weeks to decide what to do because Mark and I decided we weren't going to be forced to make some type of quick decision, and I was not going to make the decision out of fear. I remember one day when I was walking behind the couch in our den, God spoke to me, and he let me know very plainly. He said he would be with me and I was going to be all right whichever way I chose. If I chose to go through traditional treatment and have surgery and chemotherapy, he was going to be with me all the way through that, and I would be all right. But if I chose just to believe God and take these herbs, I was going to be all right too. I just thought that was so wonderful. God, I really believe God gave me a choice. Either way, I was going to be okay. And that phrase came to me, it's time to believe. And, you know, in my heart, what I wanted to do, I just wanted to believe God to heal me and take those herbs and not go through all the traditional treatment. But, you know, I just didn't know if I could believe it. I just didn't know if I could do that or not. And, you know, I wanted Mark to make the decision for me. I wanted him to decide, you know. I wanted him to do the fighting for me. But, you know, this was a decision only I could make. And he was just so wonderful and so supportive. I felt no pressure either way. I tried to get him to pressure me one way or the other. He just didn't. It was just, you know, God knew that I needed to make the decision myself. Well, by the middle of July, I decided I was not going to go through all the surgery, chemotherapy. I was just going to believe God and take these herbs. That was my choice. Now, there are two very important things that you need to realize in my decision-making process. The first thing was I did not make that decision. I made the decision to reject the surgery. It was not made out of fear because what I had to do, I found out everything I could about the surgery, all that it would involve, and I got myself to the place where I was not afraid of it. I wasn't afraid to do that. And I found some doctors I really liked, a hospital that I felt comfortable going to, but I just couldn't just not do it because I was afraid to do that treatment. I had to get to where I wasn't afraid, and I got to where I wasn't. And then also, when I made this decision, my decision was going to be final. Because choosing just to believe God and take these herbs, it was not something that I was going to try to see if it would work. This is what I was going to do, no matter the circumstances, no matter the opposition that I came up against. This was it. This was my final decision. And so that's what I decided to do. I tell you, God had done a work in my heart. It had been about 6 weeks, and God had done a work in my heart at this point. And I knew at this point I could believe, because my heart's desire was to be able to believe God to heal me, and it's really important that he gets all the glory. Well, as I continued to pray and seek God's direction, you know, I take these herbs 3 times a day, but he said, you need to change your diet, start eating healthier, drink more water, and limit all the sugar intake, like no sweets. And I started doing those things. Let me ask you, did eating better and taking these herbs heal me? No. It was God that healed me. Now, he used those things to help, but God was the one that healed me. God is the one that took the cancer away. You know, if you have a physical problem and you believe that God directed you to have surgery or take some type of medicine, then you go into that surgery knowing God has directed your steps, knowing that God has that surgeon's hand. You go and do that because that's God's blessing will be on it. You follow God's direction, and if he gives you that medicine, but the thing is, when you finally come out of it and you're well and you're whole, give God all the glory. He is the one that did it. Let's give him the glory. You know, going against doctor's instructions is not something Mark and I would normally do, but I just really believe down deep in my heart that this was what God wanted me to do, that he wanted me to believe him and just take these herbs. Well, how did I get to the place where I could believe God? What got me there? Several very simple things. Spending time with God in prayer, just that consistent every day spending time with the Lord in prayer so I could recognize and know his voice. Praise and worship got me a place where I could believe. You know, especially Sunday morning and Wednesday nights when we have this corporate praise, counting on God. That song has meant so much to me this year. How that he is my healer and how much that he loves me. See, as you worship God for these, for all for his attributes, for who he is and the wonderful things that he does and what he can do in your life, that builds a faith in you, and that just kind of goes with me. Like I would just leave just strengthened, and it would go out through with me throughout the week. Praise and worship helped to build my faith. Reading God's Word, you know, it's just amazing. Since I've never really had health problems, you know, I haven't had read a whole lot about healing in the Scripture. But this past year, I cannot believe how much healing is in there. It's all over the place in the Bible. But you know, whatever your problem is, if you go to the Word of God, you'll find the answer to your problem is everywhere in that, in there. God's Word is alive, and it's powerful, and it's active, and it has what you need. And meditating Scriptures is a wonderful thing, because as I meditate Scriptures, it's one thing to just know what the Bible says. It's another thing when you think upon it, and it becomes part of you, then it has a real effect in your life. One other thing that really helped me was speaking out words of faith, actually saying with my mouth, I am healed. Amen. I am whole. Just those words and just speaking out the Scripture and applying it to my life, it builds your faith. God brought lots of books across my path. I listened to lots of healing messages on CD and DVD. And the particular ones that God had me to tell about what I was going through, the friends and people, they encouraged me greatly. But all these things got me to the place of believing God. Now, I want to make this very clear. I didn't do all these things to earn my healing from God. And you cannot be good enough to earn a healing. I did all these things because that's what I had to do to help me to believe God. That's what got me to the place where I could believe. One thing that really helped me, the Wednesday night, does anybody remember that Wednesday night series we had on the Lord's Prayer? That really prepared me, because through that whole series, I started relating to God as my Father. Now, we know that as a fact, but when it becomes real to you that I'm His child and He really is my Father, and I started relating to God more as my Father and how much that He truly loved me, I just became more aware of God's love for me than I ever have during that series. And that was really pivotal for me in the very beginning of my fight, because whenever I was just felt paralyzed and confused and through all the tears, I knew God loved me. I knew that He loved me, and that brought me such strength. You know, this is Mother's Day, and as a mother, we do everything that we can to see that our children are blessed, that they're successful, and they're prosperous in their life. And we mothers, we know we would absolutely never do anything to harm or to hurt our children. Our Heavenly Father's that way. My Father wants all of His children to be blessed, prosperous, successful, and He wouldn't hurt us in any way. Well, you know, anytime you make a choice to step out in faith to believe God, opposition comes. And it did. I remember the first thing I encountered, I had to tell the doctors, they were waiting to find out if I'm going to have surgery. I had to tell them that I just was upfront with them. I said, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe that God has healed me. I believe that the Scripture in the Bible, that says, by His stripes I am healed. And hey, God's also directed me to take some herbs, so I'm just not going to have the surgery. Well, that didn't go over too good with the doctors. And, you know, the different ones that I had several I had to tell, but when I told them, you know, it's amazing the unbelief of others, how that attacks your faith. My faith was just attacked, and I would come away just exhausted after talking with them. I believe that's really the reason why God would only allow me to tell just a few people until now, because of the unbelief that I would face if everybody knew. You know, I just felt really directed. God showed me exactly who I was supposed to tell, because God knew that I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle unbelief of others. So I just did my best to follow God's direction, because He knew it was just hard enough for me just to tell the doctors about it. Well, one doctor even sent me a certified letter that said, basically, in the short version, said that I was going to die if I refused this treatment, and that all they'd be able to do for me was to give me some pain management. Well, that was a pretty devastating letter to receive. I thought, oh, my very first certified letter. Hope I never get another one. Well, but, you know, God is just good. In fact, another Christian lady, I won't mention who it is, but found out that the situation that I was in, and what she did, she told somebody else that I had cancer and was doing nothing about it. Well, I don't know. That just made me really mad. I was so angry because I was doing something. I was believing God. And that was an attack against my faith and saying I'm doing nothing. And attack against, to me, it was an attack against God as well. Because don't people tend to do that, though? When you say you're praying and believing, they want to go, well, they want to know, well, what else are you doing? You know, like, that's not good enough. But to me, you know, but you know what that did for me, though? That just made my resolve just more steadfast. I wasn't turning back on my God. I'm believing God. What better thing can you do than that? Well, Mark and I decided at one point we were to have Michael and Ellen Bear over for dinner. Because we always enjoy fellowship with them. We always feel refreshed and built up in our spirits after spending time with them. And while they were over, we decided we were going to tell them what we were going through. Well, that was just another divine appointment. Because Michael told us about a young man that he knew who was dying of cancer. The doctors had given him no hope. He was dying of cancer. He took some herbs and got well. Well, this was just another confirmation that we had made the right decision. And God knew I needed to hear that, because after 5 months, at the end of October, we had been believing God. I've been trying my best to do what God had asked me to do, watching what I'm saying, you know, and just believing God. After 5 months, at the end of October, the cancer showed signs of spreading. In fact, I found another lump much bigger than the one that was removed in June. It just kept getting bigger and bigger, and it was pretty devastating to Mark and I. In fact, we just couldn't even talk about it. We didn't say anything about it for a while. We just couldn't. But at one point, I said, well, you know, Mark, I think it'll be all right. I want to go back to the original surgeon and just have him remove it, just like they did the first one. So we thought we'd do that. So I made an appointment, went and saw the doctor. She examined me, and she said, well, I believe the cancer is spreading. I said, but she wouldn't operate on me unless I agreed to go ahead and have a mastectomy and do all the chemotherapy. And I said, well, I'm not going to do that. And she said, well, at this point, she got angry and said, well, you're just going to have to find another doctor. I won't treat you. So we left and went home. We prayed and, you know, sighed for the Lord. And I thought, you know, we decided we're just going to keep doing what we're going to do. We're going to keep taking these herbs, and I'm just going to believe God. Within 2 weeks, it was almost completely gone. Up to that point, it just kept getting bigger and more painful. And within 2 weeks, it's almost totally gone. Praise the Lord. God is so good. But, you know, I would think that the greatest opposition and battle I faced, the greatest has been in my own mind. Because that battle, sometimes in my mind, has been so severe. It's like this war going on in there. But what's helped me is any time I would get a hold of myself and think and meditate on God's word, then and speak it out of my mouth, that was really important, that I actually say it out of my mouth, then victory would come and I would have peace in my mind. So I want to just share with you just a few verses that have meant so much to me, that when this war is going on, that has just calmed me down and given me faith, built up my faith, and brought joy to my heart. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. Here's the story of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. His little girl is dying, and he comes to ask Jesus to come to his home and pray for his little girl. And we'll take it up there. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now, can a parent get any worse news? Your child has died. And the one who brought the news, their attitude was that, I'm sorry, she has died. There's absolutely nothing we can do. All hope is gone. What did Jesus do? He immediately turned to that father and said, be not afraid, only believe. Well, as I read this, I believe God spoke to me. You know, the doctor said, you have cancer, and without this treatment, you're gonna die. But he said to me, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. It doesn't matter if it looks hopeless. Be not afraid, only believe. And that just brought such joy to my heart, such peace to my heart, because I know God spoke that word to me. Be not afraid, only believe. Another scripture that's meant a lot is Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. As I was thinking on this scripture as I was driving down the road one day, God spoke to my heart, the blood is enough. The blood is enough. And that just went on another breakthrough for me, because I thought, you know, that blood, cancer can't survive when it's covered in Jesus' blood. No cancer cell can survive. When that cancer cell touches the blood, it dies. You know, and that just came alive with inside of me. Another verse that means so much, Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You see, this verse describes what was accomplished for us when at the cross. It describes that as a Christian, this belongs to us, forgiveness of sins, peace in our minds, and healing for our bodies. That's part of the atonement. And this has become more than just head knowledge for me. It has become part of me. I realized the price has already been paid. And this sickness, this cancer, is not mine. It doesn't belong to me. Jesus already bore it. It doesn't belong to me. Now, these scriptures mean a lot to me. And you might think, okay, that sounds like a good scripture. But when you have thought about it and meditated upon it, and God makes it alive, come alive in your heart, then the word, that brings health to your body. That's what it brings, health to your body. Now, there was one other direction that I got from the Lord that I thought was very, really pivotal to help me in my fight this year, was that I was supposed to not look at or consider other people who I know had prayed for healing and were not healed. I was only to consider what the Word of God said. That was my example to look at, and that's what I did. I just looked at the Word of God and trusted what He said. So here I am. It's May 9th. It's 11 months later. When I began confessing and believing that I am healed, I took a stand in faith and believing, and now I believe that my manifestation has come. Now, I have no doctor's report. I'm just telling you, I know it. I know it inside. It had this aggressive cancer, it hasn't spread. There's no signs of it anywhere. And I'm as healthier in some ways than I've ever been in my life. So I just give God all the glory. You know, about a couple of weeks ago, I was having dinner with Heather on a Wednesday night just before service, and I told Heather, I said, Heather, I know God has healed me, and I've been standing all this long time, but I want a biblical example, something in the Bible that shows me where God promised healing to someone, and it took a long time before it manifested. I just didn't know, because I'd read how Jesus laid hands on the sick, and most of them just instantly recovered. Or if it wasn't instant, it was just really, really quick. You know, it was just a week or so, or maybe a day or an hour. You know, it was really quick. But when he prayed, it wasn't a long time. So I wanted a biblical example, something that I could hold on to. Well, that night, as I slept, and a most unusual thing happened that's never happened to me before. Three times in the night, this reference came to me, Romans 4:19. I thought, okay, Romans 4:19. Romans 4:19. I thought, well, I had no idea what was in Romans chapter 4. But that next morning when I got up from my devotions, I opened up to Romans chapter 4, and there was my answer. It was Abraham. Abraham. It says, Romans 4:19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, but was about... when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You see, Abraham, our father of faith, he was promised a son. But what did it require? It would require Sarah to be healed because she was barren and couldn't have children. See, Abraham was a man who chose just to believe God. He believed the word that God had spoken to him. And I tell you what, Abraham believed for a long time. And you know, the longer he believed, the worse the circumstances got. They just kept getting older and older. It became more impossible for them to be able to have children. But you know, he stood and he believed. He got to that point, and then God gave him that child. And see, that's really what I've done this year. I just chose to believe God. When the circumstances got worse, I just chose to believe God and stand on his word. I chose to make that choice. I was going to believe God. It didn't matter how long it took. But I stand before you healed and whole today. The last reference, Romans 4, verse 20, 4, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I'm fully persuaded this morning. If you have sickness in your body, you can be healed today. I'm fully persuaded that whatever problem you have this morning, God is here to meet you. You can make Mother's Day your point. You can make Mother's Day your point of contact this morning. You can look back and say, Mother's Day, that's the day that I got it, sweetheart. Look back. This is the day that God healed me. That's my point of contact on Mother's Day. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray over you.